Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And joining us now is the Emmy-nominated actor, singer, mom, content creator, a former Disney icon, Kristy Carlson Romano. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks so much.
Disney icon. So what does it take to become a Disney princess? Have you looked into that application process?
That's so funny. I actually did play Belle on Broadway. So I guess you'd have to say I'm friends with Belle. There's like certain ways to basically say that you've been a princess. But yeah, I guess you just have to believe in magic.
Well, Special Forces, World's Toughest Test is coming to Fox and you're going to be featured. But, you know, when I think about Belle, she was really into the books. She did Beauty and the Beast. She doesn't, I guess she's tough in her own way, but she's not someone out there punching people.
Yeah, she's mentally resilient, which I definitely felt that playing her on Broadway. It was also very physically demanding, but I was 19 at the time. And now I'm 40 and I'm in Wales, like jumping out of helicopters. But regardless, I knew that physically it was going to be demanding, but mentally is really where you shine in these types of challenges because you can't give up.
So when you talk about the toughest test, mentally, that's the toughest test.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. Because you have the toughest guys out there in the last two seasons. You can see that the toughest guys are some of the people that leave the earliest.
Physically speaking, yeah. And you were on Disney's Even Stevens and Kim Possible. There was a lot of physicality with Kim Possible. So when you have played roles in your past, characters that you played that are tough, do you have to channel them in certain times during this competition?
Actually, I feel like because this was a reality show, this was more about me digging deep into who I am now. I love those characters, of course, and I think that it's really expert-level marketing for Fox to say, hey, let's get Kristy on there and people will enjoy the nostalgia elements of it. What I've enjoyed most is connecting with my husband while I was training. He's a Marine veteran, and he helped train me for about 3.5 weeks, not just physically, but mentally as well. I was treading water with my clothes on in a cold pool for like 10 minutes at a time and running up the hills here in Hill Country of Texas and like, you know, weighting down my bag with weights. So I was doing everything I could to kind of simulate the experience that I ended up getting.
Right. And Fox's Special Forces premiering January 8th. So it's around the corner. Different people that serve share different amounts of things about their experiences. So before this competition, did your husband let you know what he went through with his military service? Or were you learning about some of this for the first time in preparation for this show?
My husband has always been very open with me about his life experience. We've been together about 14 years. And there are some things that I couldn't possibly relate to because the risks are so different. The life and death stakes are very different than going on a reality show. And he also said, look, you experienced this for what, 10 days or the weeks that you were there. He's like, but I experienced it and it was so long and I didn't get paid nearly enough compared to what we get to make on this show. So it's just the stakes are so different, but I was so grateful to, you know, have some of the like outlook of what he might have gone through in his training.
Wow. And different appreciation in a sense, but I guess that could be said about a lot of different things. When you walk in someone else's shoes for a moment, you kind of feel their experiences. You get that different mindset in a way of some of the struggles they may have gone through. And I'm sure you've learned a lot through experiences like this, what military experts and career military go through over the course of decades.
Yeah, I have such a deep love and respect for our armed forces.
Yeah, it's amazing. I look to in part of this, and I'm going to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago, is that, okay, Fox did a great job at marketing this. You know, we're talking about a former Disney icon that played tough characters in Kim Possible, and now she's going to play a tough character, but for real, with Fox's Special Forces. But you go back and look at that, and one of the other things they mention is talking about your story of after working for Disney, you're doing work on YouTube and podcasting and Instagram, and you have all these different shows that you're doing, but in those shows, you also open up about your own personal life, and one of the things they mention is sobriety. And I think that's just so great that you're open about that and you're talking about your experiences, and I hope that more people do grab onto that aspect of it, because sometimes they don't look at it as there's other things that you can do after the fact. Like when you're in the middle of it and the struggles and how hard it can be, sometimes it feels like it's impossible to get past that, but it shows you that you can.
Oh, absolutely. I think that one of the reasons I wanted to test myself with this was just to prove to myself, you know, I'm a mom. I've been, you know, sober from alcohol for 8 years, but I wanted to show myself that I'm strong in ways that I don't even realize. So coming through this experience on the other side of it, I'm like, wow, I can do tough things, and we can take it a day at a time, sure, which is what people say when they're not drinking and whatnot, but I mean, this is next level. Like, this is a whole different kind of challenge.
I know, and it's a weird thing too. I've been sober for probably 13 years now, and
amazing.
I say that in a way, and I'm hesitant to say it because I did it for my faith reasons, as opposed to I didn't really have an addiction. I didn't feel, but you know, you go through college and you're drinking all the time, and then you get out of it. And you find yourself like falling back into it. And I got to the certain point where I got serious with my faith. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I have to really immerse myself. So I gave it up immediately. And yeah, it's been about 13 years. And I find too that I can't really compare myself because there's people that have really struggled with different types of addiction. And I don't even put myself in that same category. But I do say that in the end of it all, I'm so glad that I did that. And I feel like people that do that, they all say the same thing. They're so glad that they gave it up.
Yeah, I mean, there's zero regrets from, you know, starting my family on the right foot with not even ever thinking to, you know, pick up any kind of an alcoholic beverage seriously. You know, I mean, I think that there was definitely triggers through COVID and having young kids. And you know, you start to think to yourself, am I on the right path? Do I even have something wrong with me? But then you reevaluate and you say, no, this is the life path I've put forward for myself. And honestly, like, if there is something to being connected to your higher power, that when you're not drinking, you're able to clearly see what God's put in front of you to be grateful for and to learn from. And so I definitely connected to my higher power on a deeper level through the course and through my experience on Special Forces.
Yeah, you know, I worked on classic rock radio stations, and you would do interviews with artists, and I should have picked up some of the cues back then when I was younger, because they all had a common thread. The ones that had longevity in their career became sober. They all said it too, and they weren't afraid to credit that sort of thing. They said, you know, I realized very quickly that the lifestyle I was living on the road was destructive, and I would not be able to go forward. When they start to see some of their own colleagues in the music industry falling away because of the addiction problem. And I should have picked up on it then. I never took it seriously until actually it was like, you know, when you humble yourself in front of God and you come to those realizations yourself, it's a whole different experience.
Yes, absolutely. And whatever it takes for you to get there, you get there, and then you pull yourself up and you move forward. So I think that, you know, with Special Forces, it's a testament to those of us who struggle and want to fight the good fight and keep fighting.
So in Special Forces, how many times did you have to prevent your mind from telling you you can't do something because it's too hard? Does that happen constantly?
Yes. I mean, it's entirely too hard for me. I have no business being there. I'm literally next to Cam Newton, drowning in the ocean water of Wales, and it's wild. And you just say to yourself, you have to almost be delusional and say, hey, this is where I'm at. I have to be truly present in this moment and just receive whatever, you know, lessons I'm meant to learn right now.
And these are professional athletes who have already been trained in their mind how to, like, block out pain, block out fear. You know, they're in front of crowds that are yelling and screaming stuff. They can block all that sort of thing out. Did you have to go through, like, mental training before this, too, besides the physical side, the mental side of it? Did they prepare you for that, or is that something you just did with your husband?
You would be surprised. Yes, that is what I did with my husband. He trained me as if he was my own DS. And I asked him to do that so that I could be ready to go. At the same time, I think you'd be surprised at how many athletes actually aren't as willing to accept uncomfortable situations as you would think. I mean, we're talking Olympians. We have Olympic people, that have, you know, not made it through selection. I won't say who or how or what, but like there were people who just couldn't do it and they left. So you'd be surprised.
Yeah, you're going to have to tune in January 8th. That's the premiere of Fox's Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. So you go to other countries for this. So any reason why you went to Wales for this competition?
Yes, Wales is the birthplace of the SAS Special Forces in the UK. They also produced the London version of this, the British version of this show. There right after, I think it was we left and then they started a whole nother production, which is wild that the DS can just like turn that around two times over every year. So, I mean, you know, we were just on a course and these courses happen to people all the time. This one in particular was, you know, there's different courses set in the jungle. Maybe that'll be next season, but like they did the Arctic on the second season and they did the desert in the first. This was wet water. Water warfare. Mm. So that's what we were doing in Wales.
So how intrusive are the cameramen? Because, you know, we don't see it as a viewer on the television. They just kind of get the camera in there and they document everything. But when you're performing and you're going through these feats in Special Forces, do you lose track of them too? Or is it like they're always there? You know, they're always watching and it's distracting.
It is really hard for me as an actor to forget that the cameras are always watching. I think some people just forgot completely. And if they, you know, a lot of our people were already pretty natural, like authentically themselves. So it wasn't like they were acting for cameras. But for me, it was very difficult for me to forget that they were there. I needed to make sure that I was not going to get a bad edit, as they say in reality television, and become the villain. And I'm not a villain, so I don't anticipate anything like that. But this is my first time being on reality television. I don't know what to expect. Oh. I'm there with the best intentions, I can tell you that much.
I know. My wife watches Bachelorette and some of these other reality shows, and she's always talking about the edit because the community's online. They watch, like, Big Brother, the 24-hour 7 feed, and they know everything that's going on, so she'll read the forums. They'll be like, oh, they edited this person to give this impression when they didn't do it. So stuff like that's in your mind when you're on a reality show.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And I was trying, I was doing, you know, there were so many lessons I was learning all at once, honestly, that I was like, okay, I'm just going to be present as much as possible and then go to sleep for as long as they let me sleep.
You need as much rest. Your body has to recover at some point. That's how you do it.
Yes.
Rest is a great way.
Yes.
I think exactly. Some people, maybe not on the same scale as these tough tests, but they're thinking to themselves, you know, it's the new year. They want to get in better shape. The New Year's resolutions always, you know, get in better shape. And they always struggle. What's the first step to do that? So you've kind of went through this process now. You went through the first steps to prepare yourself and your body for this reality show. So if someone's listening, they want to get to the workout, they want to get to the gym, and they don't know the first step to take in order to do it because, you know, there might be a little bit of fear, not an understanding of what to do. What would you encourage them to do?
Well, I would say stop drinking because alcohol definitely changes the way that you're going to metabolize. And the older you get, the more it affects you. You know, it definitely messes with your skincare, ladies, if you're listening. I think one of my secrets to not aging as quickly is, you know, lasers and stuff that you do for your skin, but also not drinking. And that's super important. And it's dry January, right? So it's a perfect time to even experiment with that. But you have to have the mindset that you're training for something. I would give somebody like a marathon or like you know, some sort of a benchmark for themselves, because that's what worked for me, was I have 3.5 weeks to not die. And I have to be able to at least get there and show up. And I worked my hardest, and I'm really proud of how I performed during the show. So do that for yourself and make that mindset of like, I'm doing this for X reason, and I have X amount of time to do it.
I got to tell you, you made me more excited to watch this now. And it's one of those shows I think I'll watch with
my wife.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah, she's been really into reality shows. I'll tell you, it's such a strange thing. She started listening to certain pop podcasts where they talk about reality shows. And she's like, I don't want to be left out of the conversation. So she started watching reality TV just for the fact that she was listening to these podcasts. And now she's hooked on her certain shows.
That's so funny.
So she loves
stuff
like this.
That's so funny. Well, there you go. There you go. Well, she'll enjoy this. I promise you that.
All right. It's Around the Corner, Fox's Special Forces World's Toughest Test, premiering January 8th for this season. And I got to tell you, again, you've made me excited to watch this. Christy Carlson Romano, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on this New Year's Eve on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't go anywhere. I'm Ryan Recker filling in, and I got to tell you that our guest that we just had on, former Disney star Christy Carlson Romano, voice of Kim Possible, she was on Even Stevens and will be competing in Special Forces on Fox starting next week. And I mentioned my wife there at the end. She knows, of course, Kim Possible and Even Stevens. That's in her wheelhouse. Our producers both went goo goo gaga as soon as I mentioned who we would be talking to. Don't pretend, by the way, that you didn't. You were enamored by this.
You know, it's pretty impressive. It was a pretty good interview, and we all watched Kim Possible as kids. So,
hold on a second. Pretty good. What would have made it better? Go ahead.
I mean, maybe if you got a gig out of it, I don't know.
Oh, okay, I got you. So you're saying I could have taken a little more liberties to use it as an opportunity to jumpstart my own acting career.
Yeah, we would love to see Wrecker on Special Forces. That would be great.
Oh, man, I wouldn't survive that. I mean, I could do the mental side of it, not the physical side. I'm such a convenience person that I don't even want to be outside if I don't have to, because it's inconvenient to be around too much wind. Like, what? It's too windy. Why am I outside? I'm going back in. That's me in my older age. I don't want to go to concerts because it means I have to stand up. Ugh, inconvenient.
So
don't want it.
Let me ask you a question. This is related to, so you're in the Detroit area, right?
Right, right.
So we've heard a lot of stuff about crime in St. Louis, and they're comparing St. Louis to Detroit, and they're like, Detroit's this, like, they turned around their metro area with crime. Is that true at all?
I would say it's more of a marketing thing than it is a reality for a couple of different reasons. And here's what we found with major metropolitan cities is that they just don't accurately report crime. In New York and Los Angeles kind of started really this whole trend of, we don't have to report everything, or we'll just selectively report things and we'll make it look like it's the bigger picture. St. Louis did this a couple of years too when it came to homicides. They changed the definition of what's reported. And then the next year, when they took out certain types of homicides, they said, look at us, less homicides. We're a safe city again. And the people that paid attention to that sort of thing realized you're manipulating the numbers. You're not telling the full story because it's not an apples to apples comparison. In places like Detroit and some of these other larger cities, you find that they just don't report certain crimes anymore, but they give the impression that they've fixed that and solved that problem. But people, I think, are wiser to it. And when you talk to people on the street and you actually hear about their own personal experiences, it's different than the national narrative. And it's not popular to do that, because what you do is, and when you're part of the media and you have an understanding of how the media works, they want to be in good favors a lot of times with the administration that's in place. They don't want to be looking at as the person that just brings bad news, which often leads to a lack of criticism, which also leads to a lack of accountability. And then you get people in there doing things they shouldn't have been doing because there's never been accountability. St. Louis has that problem. Detroit has that problem.
Right. So do you go to the downtown areas at all?
I try not to. I do sometimes, but I try not to. I try to avoid it altogether, honestly. It's I'm a man of convenience. Yeah. Why would I need to go down there? There's events that happen there, sporting events, concerts, other, you know, auto shows, all the stuff that goes on down there. I think to myself, all right, I am just as happy doing nothing. So yeah. why don't I just do that?
Yeah, so
don't I do that?
We just took a trip down to Tulsa, and our hotel was booked. I didn't book the hotel, but our hotel was booked in the downtown area. And you could tell, like, oh, this is not a place where this downtown area is not a place where people like to hang out. It's clearly outside of the downtown area.
I know it's been a while, and we had someone on Dr. Marbit. And he was talking about how he travels to these different cities and they just see how open drug trade is.
Yeah.
And I had an experience similar to that. I went to Minneapolis for a radio conference back when the Conclave was a thing. And it was the premier radio conference that was really geared towards the personality. And there used to be a huge amount of people that would go to it. And then obviously radio stations just stopped spending money. They stopped sending their employees and investing in them that way to go into conferences so they can better themselves, learn things as a personality. They just decided it wasn't worth putting that money in. And, you know, obviously radio is shrinking in a way. So it's kind of a sad state of affairs. It's not what it used to be. But either way, that's a whole different commentary. I was there for a conference and I was there during college. So this was before I had a professional job in radio. In the hotel we stayed at, I walked outside the hotel and I was wearing an AC/DC t-shirt. Okay. It said AC/DC. And the guy looked at me and said, AC/DC, you want some heroin? And that's literally as I walked out of the hotel, I'm like, what? So when Dr. Marbit mentioned he could go to different cities and that sort of thing happens, I thought, oh, that brings me right back to Minneapolis 20 years ago, whatever it was. It hasn't changed a bit.
There's also different levels to homelessness, and you guys kind of alluded to it earlier, where there's homelessness where you're staying with somebody, and then there's homelessness on the street.
And it's hard to track and number the ones that are going from couch to couch. That makes it really difficult in order to give an accurate count of how many people are actually homeless. We were going to talk to Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. Are we unable to connect to him here?
Yeah, he has not called.
Oh, that's a shame. What a bummer. I was looking forward to a conversation with him. Who knows? Maybe he's running late with another affiliate, but we'll still take him if he decides to call us here in the next couple of minutes. But otherwise, I was looking on Axios and they decided to put together the biggest search trends of the year. And there's a lot of different, I guess, lists out there. What are the biggest news stories of the year? What are the biggest articles, the biggest sports stories, the biggest pop stories, the biggest, there's a list of everything, the biggest whatever. And I like to look at the search trends because it gives you a pretty good idea of during a certain period of time, what everyone was looking up online. What was that big story? Do you want to guess what the top story was to begin the year back in January 1st? It was?
January 1st.
The Jeffrey Epstein list.
Okay.
Boy, do we drop that because it pretty much goes off a cliff at the end of January there. Next big story, and it took a little bit while to pick up, was Taylor Swift. Kate Middleton's in there. And I'm just going to go down the list of some of the biggest peaks in searches through Google. The Baltimore Bridge collapse. You forget about that. Wow. You remember the rescue effort and the rebuilding? Sam Bankman-Fried, with the cryptocurrency scam. Caitlin Clark, very popular. O.J. Simpson, because his death was in there. The solar eclipse. If you think about the auroras and the eclipses that we saw this year, there was a lot of looking up in the sky, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, the solar eclipse got close enough to us here in Detroit, kind of like it did in St. Louis, that we just looked from our backyard. That was pretty cool. Israel and Gaza, and I'll tell you, there is a lot more people searching for Gaza than there is Israel right now, at least back then, I should say. But it's still something that you saw from January all the way through the summer. A lot of people were searching that. And I wonder how much of that is anti-Semitic garbage. I just wonder. Another one, campus protests, the Northern Lights. Drake is in there. and I'm not someone that's up on pop culture, is the Drake thing. There was like a rap battle between him and another rapper. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest, at least my generation would call it the biggest rap beef of all time.
Okay, can you explain it to me? Why is there a rap beef, the greatest of all time for your generation?
Basically, you know how Biggie and Tupac, they were beefing. They were the two biggest rappers at the time.
Wait, say that again. Drake and who was the other one?
Well, I'm saying Kendrick Lamar was the other one.
Kendrick Lamar,
but
right.
It's basically the Biggie and Tupac of our generation.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. I don't know the big history between them, but it was West Coast, East Coast stuff, wasn't it? And
yeah,
both of them are dead.
Yeah,
I mean, weren't they both killed, like assassinated?
Yes, and it could be related to Diddy, but you know, it's a story for another day.
That is a whole different story. I wonder if he's down the list. Let's keep going. Scottie Scheffler, if you remember that story, yeah. He was the golfer that kind of went around an accident. I think it was a fatality, even, and he got arrested. Trump guilty is next. Rafa, then Hunter Biden. Biden's age is next. Trump shot is there. And then right around the same time, Project 2025 gets a lot of play. I got to tell you about this whole thing. I was told that all the Republicans and everything that Republicans wanted were come true thanks to Project 2025. When is that going to kick in? I need to know. Or maybe they just made it all up as a little way to scare people. CrowdStrike, remember when the internet was like taken down?
Yeah.
JD Vance, Secret Service, and I think that has to do with the Trump assassination attempt.
Right.
Joe Biden in there again. Olympics, Evan Gershkovic, Tim Walz, Hezbollah, the terrorist organization, I'm guessing. Isn't there a influencer that also goes by that name?
Oh, and yeah. The little person, the dwarf.
Yes.
Which is an unfortunate name.
Yeah. Pagers. Remember the Israeli way of taking out the terrorists? They basically intercepted and then delivered these pagers that were actually bombs, and they detonated them all at once, these terrorists.
Yeah.
Wow, what a story that was. Hurricane Helene, Melendez Brothers. Now, that's a little bit before your time, but did you get sucked into that?
Yep. I mean, we work in news here, so we're hearing all these headlines.
Oh, sure. Diddy now pops up, and Diddy had basically peaked earlier in the year and then had the big peak later on. I'm guessing we're going to hear more on that. He might be, I mean, just on the same level of sexual abuses as a Jeffrey Epstein, honestly. The things that are coming out about Diddy right now.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also finding that it's also about rap culture in the 90s and 2000s and the things that were just accepted among that culture is just horrific. All things considered, you hear these rappers come out and saying that it was just commonplace. You knew if you're going out to the club that night, you're drugging a woman. Like this was happening all the time. People now going back and saying how wrong they were about it and then trying to clear the air, but that was it. Let's see. Eric Adams, Hurricane Milton, Liam Payne. Is that the singer that jumped off the balcony?
Was he in One Direction?
One of them, I don't know. Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, RFK Jr., Elon Musk. Then there's a little bump for Mike Tyson. I thought Mike Tyson would have been more popular. I guess I missed out on that. Wicked, Notre Dame is in there. I don't know why. Why is it, and this is more recent. Why is Notre Dame one of the searched items? Do you know?
They just beat Indiana, and they're in the college football playoffs now. So
I got
that
it.
That would be why.
Luigi Mangione. Huge bump there. And then drones. Of course, we're seeing those drones come towards the end. So that, if you look at just pure search engines, these were the top things that people were seeking out throughout the course of 2024. What a wild year.
Yeah. So over your career, is the craziest week of news, is that from the assassination attempt, the debate, was that whole week, was that the craziest news week you've ever had?
Well, the debate, then you had the assassination attempt that led to the convention.
Yeah, Biden dropped out.
Yeah, week. Biden drops out, and that's a pretty big deal afterwards. They look at the Republican convention, they realize they're in trouble. I'd have to look at the dates on that again because it gets a little bit fuzzy. I was waiting for you to say, because I don't know if you know how old I am, but I'm assuming the way you were setting up that question, based on how young you are, is, was that as big as Desert Storm when you covered, weren't you there covering Vietnam? Like, I was waiting for you to say, what was that like in the newsroom during the Kennedy assassination?
Well, what was just, that? What was debating. It? I guess 9/11 was a huge week, too.
Well, yeah. 9/11 was different on so many different aspects because during, like, let's say the Trump assassination being a big news story this year, 9/11 was something that I don't know. Let me kind of explain the magnitude of an event like that. When 9/11 hit, I think all the stations affiliated with a news station went pure simulcast with the news station, and they blew out all their commercials. They went pure news feed on any property that media entity owned, around the clock, nonstop. And they did that because that was the only thing anyone was interested in looking at or talking about or learning about. And that is something that doesn't, I don't know if I've ever had another news event that was similar in that aspect outside of the people I talked to that worked the Kennedy assassination. And now this was way before my time. And, you know, I wasn't working during 9/11. I was still in college, so okay. I wasn't a professional broadcaster at that point. I don't know what other events, like there's been events where you've gone wall-to-wall coverage for hours, but not days at a time. And I remember the Boston Marathon bomber and how we were trying to track that. Like there was a manhunt going on in Boston real time. And that was amazing because you would go wall to wall nonstop coverage. It doesn't matter where you were. You wanted to know if they're going to catch that person that detonated a bomb at the Boston Marathon. That was kind of like another wall to wall situation. The Trump assassination attempt was a news story, but it didn't go quite the same. Now, let's say the attempt was successful. That'd be a different story then, I think.
And there was another attempt as well.
Yeah, well, at the Mar-a-Lago, and then we know Iran wanted to do it too. So I guess technically you can look at three attempts in 1 year. Really, honestly, you look at the year Donald Trump has had. Vindicated based on all of these cases against him are falling apart, realizing that they were politically motivated. He won the election and took all the swing states, even though that people said he had no shot at doing it. He's going to be a non-consecutive president, first since Grover Cleveland to do that. And you also look at now the state of the Republican Party behind his leadership, taking the Senate and House, and people are just tired of the way the direction was going after he left office. So what a shift we're seeing, and what a year for Donald Trump. I don't know how he follows up on it, but it's going to be a really interesting next 2 years, honestly. Who knows what kind of big news stories we'll be searching a year from now. Anything could happen. But I can tell you, when you look at drones, Luigi Mangione, Mike Tyson, Donald Trump, hurricanes, Melendez brothers, pagers, Olympics, Secret Service, Project 2025, Hunter Biden, Northern Lights, O.J. Simpson, Caitlin Clark. It almost sounds like that Billy Joel song, doesn't it?
Yeah,
where like they're just name dropping a bunch of people. Project 20, I can't even do it. And I started at the worst one that doesn't work with any of the beats. But you can work it out. And I'm guessing if there's any chance that Ryan Wiggins is listening, he's going to do it. And one of his weekend shows would be the next thing to do. All right, we got one more segment left. And that's unfortunate. I was looking forward to having that conversation with Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. Maybe we'll have to try again sometime in the new year. But I enjoyed it just as much. We have one more segment to go. If you want to find me online, Ryan Wrecker Radio on Facebook. At Ryan Wrecker, if you want to go to X or Twitter, and we can continue the conversations there. Be safe on this New Year's Eve. We'll continue right after the break on 97.1 FM Talk. Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker television. We can do this. I just think we could. Taylor Swift, Gaza, Northern Lights, Hezbollah, Epstein List, Olympics, Bankman-Fried. Oh, I can't keep up with it. It's too hard. It's too hard to do on the fly.
Oh, that was good.
All right, we tried. Billy Joel, didn't they try to update this? Wasn't there a rock band that came together and they made a new version of We Didn't Start the Fire and everyone hated it? They're like, oh, what are you doing trying to modernize We Didn't Start the Fire? It's really hard to do, honestly. But if you were to just take some of the most searched things of the year, you can figure it out. There was we only got a couple of minutes here, and it's too bad we didn't get to connect with Jared Halpern. But on Fox and Friends, they asked this question about the White House press pool and what we saw during the Trump administration versus what we're seeing during the Biden administration is a bunch of softballs for the Biden administration, a bunch of vitriol for Donald Trump. Now, what happens when there's another change of power and you get Donald Trump back in office? Are we going to see them with the same tone? And that's kind of an interesting way to guess what's going to happen here in less than 30 days. Can we play clip number three?
But if you look at Trump's press secretaries, you know, from Sean Spicer all the way through Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kayleigh, there was such this antagonistic relationship.
Yes.
I mean, everyone in the press pool was coming in there trying to get gotcha. I wonder, you know, on this topic of everybody wants to be Trump's friend, I wonder if that's actually going to change.
That's a great
question.
Because
what do they want more than anything?
Wow.
They want access. They want to be able to sit down and ask a question. They want to be able to pull, you know, the president to the side and get some answers. And I think in this administration, they've had almost zero opportunity for
that. Well, when you look at the way that Joe Biden handled the press, he didn't do his end of the year press conference.
Amazing.
Didn't answer questions. He's been hiding from reporters. They've been very frustrated with the way that they've handled a number of transparency issues, whereas Trump during his first term was talking to the press every single day, sometimes multiple times a day.
Wow, isn't that something? And absolutely right. Joe Biden skipping it the end of year press conference, and I think you can probably tell why. I mean, one, he's on vacation, half his presidency on vacation anyway. But the other side of it is that he's going from one place to another. I think he's going to Italy in the next couple of days. But we know exactly what would happen. This is what I think would happen, and I don't think I'm that far off. You would have certain reporters from agencies feel like, if I could be honest for one day, then maybe I will be able to get a little favor in the next administration because, oh, look, at least he asked one hard question. They want to try to revise their entire history of their job and the way that they handled themselves as press. But in reality, what I think we've seen is a malpractice of journalism where they basically kiss up to the Biden administration. And you only have a few people that are called on that will ask tough questions. Peter Ducey comes to mind with Fox News, and he would consistently question the administration. And how many times did Joe Biden lie to the press? I don't know if they even care, because how many times did he say, oh, I have nothing to do with my son's business dealings and there is no problem here. And come on, Jack, don't you know, Jack? And he would have those little outbursts that people with, you know, Alzheimer's kind of have. They have these really violent type of like quick outbursts at people. And then they like kind of go back to not knowing where they are. We saw that with Joe Biden, and the media never thought twice about it. In fact, they continue to try to hide the fact that he was having issues. So maybe they'll think, if I can just get in front of him one more time and ask a tough question, then maybe my legacy will be saved as a journalist and they won't look at me so poorly for not bringing this up to begin with. Probably not. I don't know if you can really save it at this point. A couple of other stories, and I just got a few of them that I kind of swept under the rug, and I feel like we can get in before we end the show on this New Year's Eve. I can't believe that 2024 is about over anyway. And I will mention this. I think New Year's Eve is probably the worst of all holidays. It's stupid. It is. It's a stupid holiday. Like, why do people celebrate on New Year's Eve? Why? Like, what are you? Let me put it this way. Maybe for the past decade, I don't think I've stayed up to midnight. You go to bed, it's like any other day. And the only difference is the federal government designated it as a holiday, so people don't have to work in a lot of instances. So they use that as an excuse to party.
Do you remember Y2K?
Oh yeah.
Did you celebrate that, or are you just like, I'm going?
Well, I was like 10. I would have been in high school. And I remember staying up because I wanted to know if there was going to be meltdowns. That was like, oh, let's see. There was a little bit of anticipation that the grid could go down and power could be out and all our computers would revolt against us at once. And, you know, the nuclear plants would all melt down and we would be forced into chaos, and we'd go into the streets and fight our fellow man for scraps.
But none of that happened. Did you have drones flying around?
It's so funny that you believe drones were a thing in 2000. I don't know when you think drones began, but the only people that had drones at that point were the Jetsons. No one else had Jones. Do you even know who the Jetsons are? Is that too much of a reference?
George Jetson.
Yeah, George. Yeah. But New Year's, like, if you think about it, like, who stays up anymore? Like, the young kids? It's a young kid game. Adults that stay up on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, they're doing it just because they think they have to. They're not doing it because they enjoy it. They're lying to themselves. Every year they lie to themselves. And the ones that stay up and they're, you know, they don't have a date or they're not married or whatever it is, they just cry because they're like, I just wasted another year. they get all sad and depressed. The ones that are married, they go into it thinking like, I can't believe I stayed up for this. You know, it wasn't worth the pizza we ordered to see Ryan Seacrest and a drunk Andy Cohen. It wasn't worth it. Sorry.
They're not going on this year, right?
I thought Andy Cohen is, isn't he? I guess not. I don't know.
Somebody
I don't follow
got
kicked
it. Off last
Andy
year.
Cohen did?
Somebody,
no.
I think it was Anderson Cooper.
He's with Anderson Cooper. Those two do a great job. I'll give them credit for that. They do make it interesting. It was Kathy Griffin that got kicked off a few years ago. Is that who you're thinking about?
No, I thought it was like last year, like Don Lemon and then...
Oh, Don Lemon, yeah. He had a rant on YouTube recently. I considered playing it, but then I realized it would be more beeps than words that I could air, so I decided on not to. But if you do a quick search, you can see a highlight about how much he just hates people that voted for Donald Trump. I mean, we're talking about beyond hate. We're talking about insanity, Trump derangement syndrome. But I know someone that will be having a great New Year's Eve is a person that looks like Luigi Mangione, the guy that assassinated the United Healthcare CEO. So he is someone that just like has a resemblance of the assassin, just a resemblance. I mean, if you look at them side by side, you would say there's a chance they're brothers. They don't look like twins, but apparently he is getting bombarded by models asking for dates because he looks like this assassin. And he's like, okay, I guess I'll take advantage of this. He's out there like bragging to people that these fashion models are out there sliding into his DM. That's what I guess the kids say. And going out there and just enjoying his life. So I guess he might be out there taking pictures with people on New Year's Eve, whatever it may be. I got to tell you, coming back to the end of the year, I think about what this year was like and how differently the alternate universe would be if we were going to the end of the year and what we had to look forward to was Joe Biden handing the reins over to a Kamala Harris, then I would feel a lot different than I do right now. Now my fears are not that we're going to dip further into, you know, more economic woes. We're going to dip further into immigration chaos. What I find we're going to dip into is if the Republicans by Friday can't figure out what to do with the Speaker of the House situation, then all of the potential that was there in order to turn the ship and guide it in the right direction is going to be diminished until they get on the same page. What a powerful statement it would be if Donald Trump can get the Republican Party in line to say, we only got 2 years, we have to prioritize, put the country first, fix these things, and then we'll work on all the special interest things that you want to try to get done because we don't got enough time and we got to move fast. I don't know if that'll happen. I hope it does. But at least my optimism is it's a possibility and not something that is a impossibility. Happy New Year to you. If you wake up tomorrow morning like I am and just like, oh yeah, I guess I slept through it again. I'm glad I didn't hear the fireworks. You'll be like me, but if not, if you're staying up, be safe, be responsible. And thank you again. If you want to find me online at Ryan Recker, you're listening to News Talk. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.